Welcome back to Real and Raw with Ben Taylor. Each week, I step into this podcast with no agenda, with no direction, with no purpose of saying, hey, this is exactly what I'm going to talk about. I just step in revealing and showing and talking through the challenges that I had over this past week, talking through some of the things that I focused on inside of a process called stacking. Stacking is a process that I'm actually working on building a course and also an example of how people can learn how to stack, how they can actually get access to the software, and how other people can start to live this way and learn how to be able to process emotions, feelings, deal with triggers, because it's been so influential and so helpful for me. I know it can be really helpful for other people as well. So one of the processes is we're working on actually developing this so people will be able to see and hear and understand how to actually stack, what this actually means, and how to move forward. So stay tuned for that because that's coming down the pipe. Anyways, this whole process that I do inside of this podcast is sharing some of the challenges, sharing some of the things. I'm going to walk through a couple stacks because a lot of my focus this week was on gratitude, just being thankful for where I'm currently at, being thankful for the things that opened up, being thankful for different pieces that I learned and understand now coming through this past week. Then we'll step into one of my prayer stacks this week, an incident that happened yesterday or the day before, and then we'll kind of walk through this, okay? So inside of this, I stepped into a gratitude stack earlier on in the week around Tuesday and was saying this is a couple things that I can do. I can focus on the problems that I have at hand, or I can focus on being in the presence of God. I can focus on being connected to a higher power versus me versus the issues and the problems that I'm seeing. I can focus on one of two things. I can focus on the problems in front of me, or I can choose to look at his presence. It's an option that I have every single day. God is here for me to be able to rely on. He has his arms open wide to accept me. I have to run into his presence versus staying here, focus on the problems I have, because for him, they do not exist. There's one thing that was interesting is the problems that I have on a day-to-day basis don't exist for God. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't exist at all, because he sees them, he knows them, he understands them, but they're just not a problem for him, right? They're not like an issue for him at all, because it's not something that he has to deal with. I'm the one that deals with it, and the majority of my problems are from my own selfish responses, ego, like triggers, different pieces. And so inside of this, I've been stepping into a place of learning to be able to trust and to rely on him. And that's been super hard. We've talked through this in a couple different aspects of me letting go of control, right? Letting go of how I'm showing up, letting go of what's actually going on. Inside of all of this, being able to let go and let God control. And so inside of this, I have to step into a place of being letting go and being willing to just figure out the path that I'm on as I go. As I continue to go through life, I have to be willing to let it affect me and grow myself as I unlock who I am day to day. We step into specific thoughts about this. I don't have to have it all figured out. The other day, I had thoughts stepping into a certain call of things not being good enough, when in reality, I'm exactly where God wants me now, and I'm developing and opening up a whole new version of myself. So inside of Warrior, one of the things that Garrett has done is he's gone through and he's recorded videos over a book that he's written. And this book is developing and is talking through how to actually live the Warrior's way. And this is a process that I've been going through in recording the same exact stuff, but in my own voice, my own version of it. And so setting this all up so that we can actually communicate this to massive amounts of people of how they can actually live this way. Like the transformation that happened in my life and that is happening, how it's possible for anybody and everybody, and actually showing the step-by-step guide. So inside of this, one of the things is he will oftentimes play one of the chapters in his book for us to be able to listen to, and then we will do a stack on it, we'll do a share, we'll talk through what did we learn. And so I watched one of his the other day when I was on one of the calls, and there was a piece of me that was comparing. It wasn't as bad as what it was before. There's a piece of me that's just comparing. Like, he's been doing this for 12 years. I've been doing this for 12 months. And so there's a piece of understanding, hey, I need to have grace for myself just with everything going on and what I'm trying to learn. And at the same time, it also gave me a standard. It gave me an idea. But what I realized and what came out of it is the simple fact that I'm exactly where I am right now. He's speaking based on all of his experience. I'm speaking based on all of my experience. So as a result, my videos aren't going to be as good. Like, they're not going to be as amazing or profound or impactful in that frame. And that means a year down the road, I'll probably reshoot them. I'll probably re-record them. We're getting ready to re-record 45-Day Clarity Challenge. We just recorded a Thriver course. We just finished recording the Warrior's Way book video series. So there's a lot of different things that we're putting out there that need to get updated simply because I'm different than who I was before. So inside of all this, I'm thinking through, man, mine aren't that great. I need to improve on mine, all these same things. And then I step into our Thriver launch call. This is people that have completed and moved through our Thriver community and ones that are signed on and that are moving forward with me for a year inside of a group program. And inside of this, I did the same thing. I played one of my assets, one of my videos that I'd recorded for the Warrior's Way video course, and then had people share. And they got something out of it. And I think there was a piece of me that was almost surprised because I'm looking at it thinking, this isn't that good. Like, I need to adjust a couple things. But at the end of the day, this is the quality of what I need right here, right now. Because there's people to the left of me that don't know this stuff, that would love to be able to hear it, and that are going to gain and glean knowledge from it. Then there's people to the right of me that have done this for many years. And they're the ones that I look up to of trying to learn and glean from as well. And so inside of this, it was a really cool experience. I used my asset inside of a call and then had people discuss and talk about it. And it just really made me realize that no matter where I am, apart from like his quality or what it looks like, it doesn't matter. What matters is I'm showing up right here, right now. And so I wrote, I'm exactly where I should be right now. Judging or looking too far ahead only discourages me from the reality that I'm right where I need to be. That is okay. Do the content that speaks to me right here, right now. Focus on it so that I can continue to rise up and to continue to move forward. I have to be willing to give myself a lot of grace. And I don't feel the pressure to get it just right or just get it perfect. I have to show up and let God lead inside of all this. And so I mentioned, like, what do I want for myself in this? I want to have grace in what I produce and what I develop because I'm changing. I'm growing. So the content I put out is going to be different than what I've done before. That's okay. It's just part of the journey that I'm on here, and I have to continue moving forward one step at a time. If you go back and you look at my content a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it is vastly different. My voice is different. My communication is different. My tone is different. My tempo is different. Like, my tune is different. Like, there's so many different things that are different in how I communicate, what I speak on, how I focus on certain things. It doesn't mean that it's good or bad, but it does mean that I'm growing and developing in a lot of different ways. There's topics in the past that I probably should be speaking to now. There's pieces in the past that I was totally misaligned on and shouldn't have been speaking on at all because I didn't understand it to the level that I understand it now. There's so many different things that have transformed and that have changed. Just the other day, I was looking back on a couple of videos, and I went back and I watched some of the videos that I recorded a year and a half ago inside of the 45-Day Clarity Challenge. And I realized instantly that there is a huge reason of why I'm going back and re-recording it. Because the person that I saw on the video wasn't me. Not the version of who I am now. Not the person that stands here with a different sense of certainty and confidence and power. That person showed it at that level, but that level is not like this level, the person who I am. So I'm watching this video. I'm going through because we're working on downloading everything so we can transcribe and get things ready to reproduce the entire 45-Day Clarity Challenge this month. And when I did it, I sent a picture to my wife. She got the picture and she immediately started laughing. And it wasn't this laughing because she thought I was an idiot or anything like that, but she was laughing because when she looked at the picture, her first response to me was, "You don't even look like that guy. Like, you don't even show up like that guy." This is a year and a half ago. The biggest thing that I noticed inside the picture is I'm fat compared to now. Like, I probably had about 30 to 33% body fat, had about another 15 pounds or so added on me. And at that time, I thought I was fit. It's hilarious. Now, it's completely different. Not that my life is based around fitness. Honestly, the majority of time, I don't really like working out. I don't really like fitness because for me, it's annoying. It takes up part of my day and it's not something that I just run to and that I'm super excited about. But for me, it's a dedication piece. It's an investment piece saying, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do what's required to develop the discipline that's needed to transform my body, my mindset, my energy every single day. And so inside of this, I just was faced with the stark reality of how much life has changed in a year and a half. How my body has changed, how our marriage has changed, how my connection with God has radically transformed since that last year and a half, and how business has completely changed. Everything has massively shifted, massively grown, and accelerated in so many different ways. And so inside of this, it's still giving myself grace of everything that has happened, everything I've gone through, everything that has moved me from where I am to where I am today. It's amazing. So there's another piece inside of this where I move into another gratitude stack where I'm talking through the piece that has grown has been my confidence and my certainty. When I was out at council in 2 weeks ago, and I was out there and noticed one of the things that was different was the fact of how I protected my energy and my space from people more than I ever have before. And in doing this, it's let less people inside of my peers of other coaches, it's let less people come to me and ask me for advice. It's more been, hey, do the work. This is where I got the information. Go find it yourself. And inside of this is not to be a jerk or not to be mean to people, but there's this piece of I have to protect my energy so I serve my family, so I serve myself and how I'm growing, developing, and so I serve my clients. And there's a piece of that certainty that was getting affected by it being kind of pulled in a lot of different ways from other people. And so I wrote a gratitude stack in saying, hey, in this moment, my confidence, my growth, my certainty has been moving up more and more and more. Inside of this, the more I rely on God, the more that I'm not fearing what is happening and what is coming next. Instead, I'm stepping out in faith each and every day, knowing that He's going to provide a way for me to rise, to grow, and develop. I have this piece of positivity that I have not always had. I'm still uncovering it all and still growing in it, but it is a confidence that I've got this with God. I know that I can continue to do what He's called me to do, and there isn't fear that is controlling my life right now. Might come tomorrow, it might come the next week, but I'm learning how to deal with it, how to process it in a different way. I want to be able to rise and to a place where I know and realize that I have eradicated fear in the presence of who I am in Christ. I know this is part of the journey and the evolution of letting go. So there's a lot of pieces of just looking at this past year and the past things that have happened and being able to connect and being able to see how much has changed, how much has shifted, how much has grown. I did this inside of another gratitude stack, just focusing on each of the domains. Kale and I were sitting in the car the other day with date night, and we are currently just thinking through, man, life is so much different now than it is 2 years ago. Like the flexibility that we have to be able to do the things that we need to do, to be able to connect with the people. Like we have tons of amazing opportunities to do a lot of things that we never could before. There's this huge flexibility of what we can do, where we can go. It's been a wild and incredible journey. Mentioned through a couple different things. My body, working out the last year, starting to show up different than it has in a long time. My connection with God, even through meditation, even though sometimes it seems spotty, it's still growing and developing so much because He's spoken to me so much. Kale and I connected on a whole different level, more than we've ever been connected before. Business is growing and booming. We're in a place where I could have never imagined or expected my life to be. So inside of this, the life that I'm living right now, I never could have seen. I could have never expected at all. It's been huge in changing my mindset, my thought process. I know that I'm stepping through life at a different pace and a different direction than what I've seen before. This is huge in the past 2 years of transformation. What are some facts? What are some facts about this? Body. I've dropped 9% body fat just in the past year. I'm dialing in the testosterone, so in the next 2 months, I will be optimized. Being. I'm connected to God spiritually through meditation, reading the Bible through the entire year, praying and connecting more than I've done before. Balance, relationships, holding space for Kayla, opening the door of connection more than ever, learning how to step into more vulnerability of how I'm feeling, being able to express and expose the shame that I have. Excited for the new baby that's on the way. Like there's a lot of new things that are happening. Business, we've doubled year after year. I've added to the team almost too fast because there's a lot of people on the team, but it's making a foundation that will grow long-term to expand and develop to help the movement continue to grow of people being liberated and rising up. Inside of all this, I want all ships to rise. I want all four areas, body, being, balance, and business. The abundance that I'm seeking all areas to continue to rise and develop. I don't know the path inside of this. Okay, understand this. I don't know the direction of how I'm going to do this. I have an idea, and I'm going to continue to grow and develop on all of them, but it's going to take a lot of innovation and trust and growth. It's just going to take time. And so inside of this is giving myself grace, but it's also getting to the place of understanding I have evidence. I have facts that are demonstrating and showing to myself and to others of how I'm showing up differently. All right. That's the gratitude piece. There's a couple other, but I'm not gonna dive into those because I want to get to the meat and potatoes of today. All right. So inside of this, there was an interesting process, an interesting thing that happened just the other night. I'm gonna pull up the stat because I want to get it right. I'm gonna read the stat kind of backwards so I make sure that it actually connects. Here we go. Last night, I'm painting a little last bit of the accent wall for the baby's room, and Sophia comes in around 9:30. It was almost 2 hours past her bedtime, so she'd already been in bed for about 2 hours. She comes in asking for help. At this point, I'm slightly annoyed that she's there because she's supposed to be sleeping. I'm like, why are you still awake? I'm getting ready to go to bed in like 30 minutes. Why are you even still up? She needs to sleep. She's been tired. She's been coughing some, just some dry air that we had when we were in California and things like that where she's not sick, but she's just coughing. Anyways, so she needs to sleep to feel better, right? And so she comes in asking for help. And inside of the middle of all the things I'm doing, I'm trying to paint this trim. I'm trying to finish up. I don't really want to be bothered. Right? There's a piece where I'm like, I'm trying to get what I need to get done because I don't have a whole lot of time. But she stayed in there. She started talking to me and just asking for help with toilet paper. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? I was like, do you need me to change the toilet paper? Because a lot of times she can't get that swapped out. And she was like, no. And so I finished up some of the trim and then went with her. And I walked in because I was just annoyed. I was like, you don't need help going to bed. You just need to go to bed. And I walked in a room and it looked like someone had set off a toilet paper grenade. There was pieces of toilet paper everywhere. Like, it was a giant mess. I'm posing a picture on, like, social media of it after we cleaned it up, after we picked stuff up. But inside of this, I was just frustrated because she wanted help picking up all the toilet paper that she'd ripped up into tiny pieces and spread all throughout the floor. And I was annoyed. Like, I was annoyed because she was supposed to be in bed. Like, instead, she decided to mess up her entire room and then asked me to help clean it up. I told her at that point, no, that she was going to have to pick it up in the morning. And she started to cry. I didn't want to pick it up. I told her she chose to make the mess so she can clean it up in the morning. And so inside of this, I'm putting her in a spot where she's reaching out to me for help. And I was just completely shutting her down. I stayed with her a couple minutes and then I went out. I was looking for Kayla because I was at wit's end at that point. I don't know what to do. So she came up and she heard the part of the conversation. She heard Sophia start to crying. And she then told me, hey, Sophia specifically came downstairs and was looking for you so that she could ask you for help. And you know, like, if you continue to come at her this way, if you continue to not help her, support her, she's not going to feel safe coming to you about this stuff if you react like this. And this is just like spilled milk. It's not that big of a deal. Like, some people make it a giant deal, but it's not really that big a deal. That's when the shame hit me. Like, in that moment, shame and guilt hit me like a truck. I hadn't handled it right at all. I was frustrated. I was frustrated myself at that point. And Kayla started to say something else, but at this point, I just felt the weight of the shame, and it felt like all-consuming. So I was just like, just deal with it. Just go on. Just fix it. Fine, I screwed it up. It is this piece where, like, when I feel shame, I want to be able to run away and hide. I want to push everyone away, run away and hide, and just ignore everything. And so I went downstairs. I finished up the paint. I cleaned up, put the dogs away, get everything done. Didn't really talk much. Went up to bed. And then Kayla went up. She had Sophia pick up the majority of the toilet paper. Then Kayla went through and vacuumed all the small pieces up. And then Sophia went through and picked up any pieces that she'd missed. And so she didn't just do it for her, because that was partly why I was annoyed too. But after she was done, it was back in bed. I went up and I apologized. But I could still feel the internal annoyance. Like, I could still feel that, like, this is what I need to do. I need to apologize to her. But there's a piece where I'm still frustrated. I still feel this piece of shame. And I walk into the bedroom and Kayla tries to talk to me. And there's a point where I don't know how to communicate some of this stuff. I don't know how to open up. There's a piece that whenever I feel this level of shame, I just want to curl up in a ball and cry. That's really the best way to be able to put it. Like, it felt like in the moment I was putting up walls and just wanting to hide and die by myself. At the same time, I'm wanting someone to break down those walls because I don't know how to break them down. that's how it feels. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. I don't know how to handle those feelings. Like, I don't know how to open up in that moment. And then there's this part of just immense shame where I know I did something wrong and I know that it's not helping our daughter and that it's hurting her and it's hurting her perception of me and it's hurting her perspective of God at the same time. This is what I mean by this. God is showing me him through me, and through that moment, I felt like I was failing that completely. I wasn't showing my daughter unconditional love. She messed up, so I was judging. She made a wreck of her room, so then there was this rift of, it's not okay till you clean it up. Like, this is painting the same stupid, messed up picture of God that I've had for a lot of my life. And the struggle I'm facing now is it's so hard to work on getting rid of that judgmental, mad God at me that I have to get cleaned up in order to be seen, in order to be loved. And the very thing that I'm struggling with is the thing that I'm doing to her. This is also where the pit and the feelings of guilt and shame took over in such a massive way, to a degree that I didn't get it or understand how to process it. I don't know how to feel about it, just the overwhelming part that I was a failure. In so many ways, a failure as a father, a failure as a representative of God, like a failure of showing her the wrong version of who God looks like or how that would be, and it only is going to hurt her long term. And so inside of this, I'm realizing that God is trying to unlock certain parts of me. He's trying to unlock certain things. So let me go back up to the beginning of the stack, because some of this started in meditation. And so the following morning, because this happened one evening and the next morning is when I'm writing the stack. That's why I'm reading it backwards, so I can give you context of what we're actually talking about. So in the next morning, I step into a meditation and there's just a lot. I'm going to skim over some of it because I don't know if I'd be able to get to everything. But there was this piece of where I realized that I was going to spend a little bit of time in meditation and Jesus was going to try to introduce me to God the Father. This has been a whole conversation. You've probably heard it in some of my other podcasts of this is something that I haven't been able to vision, I haven't been able to see. So inside of this, I started walking with Jesus, walking inside the meditation to be able to say, okay, what are we going to learn? And instantly my vision in one sense changed. It was really interesting and it got really weird. Inside of this, I found myself in our family car with my wife, with my daughter, and we're in this busy city that has looting and mobbing going on in the moment. So picture like Chicago, New York, something like that, where we're all hell breaks loose, right? And you see the videos on social media, you see the videos on the news of people smashing stuff, smashing cars, attacking cars that are just driving by, all that kind of stuff. That was a situation. So high conflict, like endangerment of life. And there's this piece of we're driving through this and then they start coming after us, start coming after our car. I do whatever I have to do to drive away, drive through to get past this. And we get to a place where the car eventually like stops. And then I get out and I'm literally like fighting these people, trying to keep them from pulling my wife and my daughter out of the car. And then it like switched slightly. And all of a sudden when it changed, it was then me in the car with my family. And there was this like version of God the Father outside fighting for me, fighting to save me, fighting the demons that want to take me down, fighting the very entities that want to take my life. And inside this moment, the thought that came to my mind inside of all of this was, why me? And the answer that came back in that moment was because I'm loved, because I'm favored, because I'm called. God loves and cares about me just like a father that would do anything to protect his family. God the Father was doing the same for me in that moment. He laid waste to the people, the demons that were coming after me, and I could feel his love and presence and support there to uphold me. Then instantly I was back with Jesus. It was like a shock. It was like in the moment, then back out of the moment. It was very quick. And there was a piece where I felt like connected. Like I felt this part of God's connection to me, and I saw that in that moment of he loves me. Then all of a sudden there was a moment where I was back on the edge of a cliff walking along it with Jesus. This goes back to multiple meditations that have come to this point. And I was looking down and seeing like the millions that were inside these canyons that I'm called to serve. And as we walked down, I actually saw as we walked further down the side of the cliff towards the outcoming where the version of me stands on the top of the hill speaking and proclaiming something looked different than what it was before. It was almost like it had a different version or a different perspective. Instead of there being this piece of blue lightning coming down from heaven, there was blue lightning coming through me from behind. And inside of this, this is some of the power and the influence just communicating a message to be able to liberate people. And there was this interesting piece where as I looked, there was two hands on my back. that had this blue lightning coming through them into me. And the two hands on my back were from God the Father, standing behind me in upholding, uplifting. The blue lightning was emanating from him and coursing through his arms and hands into me and then refracting through me into the millions in the canyon below. I was amazed. How is this even possible? God the Father was here in this moment, supporting me, upholding me, lifting me up. It was an incredible experience to see and understand how he is there for me and supporting me right here, right now. Then I was back with Jesus on the beach again. One more stop that we need to make. This time when we arrived there, it was warm and sunny. It was like a farm, a park, a bench. I don't know. It was moving in one sense, but it was a place of rest. And inside of this, it was resting in God the Father. There's a moment of me sitting down beside him. And the fact that he was just there and seeing and acknowledging this peace of being able to rest in his presence. And what came out of this in that moment was partly of what I'm reading inside of a new book about sonship with God, is this aspect of I cannot connect with God if I'm not willing and able to connect with myself. If I have a wrong view of myself and the body and the spirit of who I am, then I'm slowly bashing God because I'm made in his image. There's a different feel in the moment because it almost sounds like a part of like self-love that isn't healthy, but there's a part of having the right version of love so that I can know and understand who he is more and more because I am made in his image. The whole moment seemed to last for a long time. It was one of pure bliss and contentment in resting in God, and just over and over throughout those moments there with him, I was just resting in his presence. So you have the evening that happened, then you have the morning of the meditation. And then I'm typing here, wow, I think I got all of it. That was a lot to remember. There's so much packed in that short 20 minutes. It's like I can see him, but it's just different versions of God the Father. He's revealing himself to me in different ways. And God the Father loves me. He likes me. He cares about me. He cannot be polar opposite of Jesus. He has to be congruent with who he is in character and love. I know that he is here and loves me. I just haven't viewed him as a loving father, but the one that is here to punish and hurt me, the one that is not here to love and support, but to judge and punish. I'm not sure why this is always the case or why I believe this. And so inside of all this, I'm realizing God is trying to work on me through the people that are in my life, knowing and showing that when I submit to him, there's a different version of God that I'm unlocking that I've never seen or understood. This is one of the hardest things, reconciliation with the Father. I've been able to be connected and see and understand Jesus in the sense of seeing and interacting with him in his love and inside meditation, but God the Father has been elusive. I've only been seeing like parts of him, like slowly having different pieces revealed. Then he's being revealed inversely through to me through my relationship with my daughter. This is a new part that I'm understanding and trying to see how this applies and works on a day-to-day basis. But the simple fact that I'm the image that she will associate with God the Father the most as her father figure. There's a weight that I don't know how to shoulder. There's not a way to shoulder it because it's so heavy. There is a striving of how I'm going to show up every day for her so that she sees that I'm working on it and working on becoming who I'm called to be. I know this is a part of my life and a direction of who I'm called to be. God, please help me show her. Please help me show her you through me. I have to do this for my family and my daughter. So, well, let me wrap up the stack here. Then I step into the Dear God section where I'm just communicating to him, and I communicate, Dear God, you're in pursuit of me. You're in a battle for me. You are my protector. You are my guide. You are my love. You're the one that reveals the path before me. You are on a mission to redeem me. You're the one that loves me. You're the one that likes me. You are the one. I see it and I understand my limited mindsets that I know you're coming for me. You're fighting for me. You're destroying the things around me that I'm holding on to. You're breaking down the things around me so that I do not have any other option but to look to you for all. You're destroying all the things around me, like my messed up image of who you are and the things that do not match up to who you are. We're talking through just everything that continues to move and show. And so we step into this place where I ask this question, where I'm asking these thoughts, because he's made me in his image. I'm his, he is mine, I know who I am. And the more I see my sonship in him, the more I step into my divine calling of who I am. I don't know what that means. There's been a piece that I've seen inside of stacking, inside of communication, where I'll say stuff of who I'm called to be. And then there's a piece of me that kind of sits back and I'm like, I don't really know what that means. Like, I don't really know what it means to be this person who's called. Who am I called to be? What does that version of me look like? I don't know exactly. So I said this, I don't know what that means. God responds in the moment as we're going through the stack. And I say this first. I say it so much, who I am called to be. What does that mean? Who am I called to be? Who have you destined me to be? How do I unlock the calling that you want for me? Then we step into dialogue. God responds, you don't know? I said, well, I feel like I don't. I guess I'm looking for a particular thing or something that's definable of this, of what I'm called to be. Do you feel like you need more than your sole purpose? I guess not. Maybe I thought it was going to be more specific. And God responds, I'm not going to say what career you're called to do if that's what you're asking. I'm calling you to a way of being, a way of operating, a way of liberating others. And I said, okay. Then he asked me, he's like, so what is your sole purpose? I said, my sole purpose is I'm a relentless assassin releasing the fractured. I stand for inspiring and developing others to rise. What more do you need? Well, I thought I would see calling more. No. You thought you could also see the path. You always doubt and want to see. I have already shown you. Live as you are called. This means in any role, in any business, in any location, you show up how you are called, which is what? A relentless assassin releasing the fractured. What does that mean? It means that I can release anyone through the power of channeling what you want me to do in the moment. It means I'm not locked into any version and any mold of my life. It means that I'm called to live this way, period. Then stop looking for more clarity. You have more clarity than the majority of people. Rise up, stand in your purpose and calling, which is the most pointed, clear, and flexible all at the same time. You have a calling that is out of the mold, that is also savage. Stand in the confidence and in the power of my might because I've called you to be this way. You already know that you are the guy. I have called you to stand in this gap that others are not able to stand. This means you have to learn to be savage about everything you do. Simply because I didn't call you to lead just a few, you will rise more than your brain can even fathom. But not if this question of if you are the right person or if you are the guy is a part of what you struggle with. You are called and you are living your calling right now. So when you question, step into rest with me. Know that you are living your calling right now. Who are you? I'm a son of God. I'm favored. I'm called. I'm a relentless assassin releasing the fractured. I'm out of a mold. I'm living my calling. Then go and do with vigor and power. Okay, thank you. I'm living my calling now. That's why there's a difference in my tone. That's why there's a difference in my voice. If you go back and you listen to my content a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, my voice is different. I sound different. I communicate different. Even the tone, the level of my voice is lower now than what it was 2 years ago. It's wild. I listened to a VSL the other day that we have up for Clarity Challenge that we're re-recording this coming week. And I realized, whoa, I sound completely different. It's just who I was then, but I'm different. Transformed from who I was to who I am now. And I'm living my calling now. This means I step into a place where I live and I work with the people that I need to serve right here in this moment. Does that mean I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life? Not necessarily. It just means this is what I'm doing in this moment. And that's it. God's called me to do what I do right now. So I work with women who are trapped in narcissistic relationships and want to be freed. I help them go from trapped to freedom. If you're interested in this, you can go to rawmotivationscoaching.com. I also work with men that have identified either as narcissists or having narcissistic traits or just shown up as a liar, and as a result, they're imploding their life. And I do this with men that are narcissists or narcissistic or liars. Inside of this, you can go to rawmotivations.com. You can click on the one-on-ones and there's a button there. If you're a man, click here and you can fill that out and we can talk. But that's what I'm called to do right here, right now. I don't know if that's where I'm going to be called in a year from now, 2 years from now. But this is where God has called me to be right here, right now. So this is what I do right here, right now, till I learn something different. If this has spoken to you at all, please let me know. Let me know on social media. Let me know. Shoot me an email, ben@rawmotivations.com, because I want to be able to understand that this is being put out there for you to let go, for you to release different pieces of you to stand in your confidence, in your certainty. And you might be struggling with that. You might not know who you're actually called to be. You might not know your plan or destiny that God has actually put you on. So if you don't know this, it might be a good time to figure it out. I'm still figuring it out, but I'm intentionally looking and seeking and working on figuring out on a day-to-day basis. Hope you will too. This is Real and Raw with Ben Taylor. Hope you all have a blessed day.